The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas, Parashas Ekev. For this evening shiur, it would be extremely helpful if everyone will have a chumash. If we refer back to Parshas Yisro, Yisro is in Shemos, it's in Sefer Shemos, and if we go to Yisro, Perek Yutes. There we have the giving of the Torah, and we have written explicitly in the Parsha, the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments. It states, Bachodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, Bayem Azeh Bo Midbar Sinai. It was in the third month of the going out of Egypt. When we say the third month, it doesn't mean 3 full months. It means it was the third month. We went out the 15th of Nisan, then was Iyar, and then was Sivan. So this was the beginning of Sivan, when it was actually the space between the time zone, between the giving, the going out of Egypt and the giving of the Torah, were 50 days. The 49 days of Sfira, and the 50th day the Torah was given. And the Torah tells us, Vayishu Merefidim, they went from Refidim, Vayavo Midbar Sinai, they came to the desert of Sinai, Vayachnu Bamidbar, they camped in the Midbar, in the desert, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neger Ohor, and they camped near the mountain, Umesha Ola Elakim, and Mesha went up the mountain, this was Har Sinai. And then we have, for the next few days, Moshe going up and down, speaking to Hashem and speaking to Yisrael, preparing them for the giving of the Torah. If we go a little further, we have immediately afterwards in Perechof, Vayidaber Elokim es kol advarim ha'ela lemor, and Hashem spoke all of these words to Moshe to say. And then we have the Ten Commandments, the Aseres Hadibros, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beis Avodim, I am the Lord your God that has taken you out of Egypt from the house of slavery, and so on. This is the first time the Ten Commandments appears explicitly in the Sefer Torah, and this is referring to the Ten Commandments which was given in the third month after going out of Egypt, and our sages refer to this as the Luchai Sarishenais, the first tablets. If we go a little further, to the end of Parshas Mishpotim, which is the next Parsha. to Shmos Perichov Dalet. There we have a continuation of it. Ve'al Meisha Omar E'aleh El Hashem Natov V'Harein Nodeh V'Aviyu V'Shim Zikne Yisrael V'Nigash Moshe Levadoi El Hashem V'Heim Lo Yigoshu V'Om Lo Yalu Imai. Hashem said, you come up alone, leave the others down. And the Torah continues with this. And this refers to that day and to the 40 days later that Moshe stayed on the mountain, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him the entire Torah. Then, if we go to Parshas Kisiso, in Parshas Kisiso, Perek Lamed Dalet, well, maybe first we should look I think first we should look in Perek Lamed Beis in Parshas Ki Siso. Perek Lamed Beis, Posuk Tesvov. This continues with at the end of the 40 days, and Moshe was on the mountain. But meanwhile, the nation went and made the golden calf. So there, Hashem told him to go down immediately. You have to sort out things in the camp. So Moshe turned, and he went from the mountain, and the two tablets were in his hand. The tablets were written from both sides, which was the nes. It was hewed right through from both sides. And they were the luchais, the tablets, were the works of Hashem. And the writing was the writing of Hashem. Chorus ala luchais, which were engraved on the tablets. And then, a few psukim later in Pasuk Yutes, when Moshe got closer to the camp, and he saw the calf, and he saw all of the dancing. Vayichar at Moshe. Moshe became angry. Vayashlech miyoda vesaluchais. And he threw down the tablets. Vayshaber esom tachas ahor. And he broke them beneath the mountain. So, first we learned in Parshas Yisro about the giving of the first tablets and the writing of the Ten Commandments. And then we learned at the end of Mishpatim the continuation of that, where Moshe remained on the mountain for 40 days. And here we're learning at the end of the 40 days, Moshe came down, and he saw the golden calf that they had made, and he became angry, and he broke the two tablets. Now, Moshe appeals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should forgive the people and he should give again the Ten Commandments on a second pair of tablets. And this is what the sages refer to as the either the Luchai Shniyais, the second tablets, or the Luchai Sa'achreinais, the last tablets. So if we go again in Kisiso to Perek Lamed Daled. Chapter 34. Now, in between what we skipped is all of the appeals that Moshe makes to Hashem to forgive the nation. In Perek Lamed Daled, Hashem says, "Vayema Hashem el Moshe, psolachoshne luchai sabonim karishainim. You hew out two tablets like the first ones." And I will write everything on these tablets that were on the first tablets, Asher Shibalta, which you broke. When is this taking place? The sages will tell us that this is taking place 40 days later. There was a second 40-day period in which Moshe appealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the second 40-day period, then Moshe said, all right. He said, go down, make new tablets, and come up the next day, and stay with me a third 40 days. The first 40 days is calculated by the sages that it ended on the 17th of Tammuz. That's when he came down, and that's when he found the golden calf. That's when he broke the tablets. Next morning, he went up again on the 18th. And the second period lasted from the 18th of Tammuz till Erev Reish Chodesh Elul. And now Hashem told him, go down and come up again tomorrow, which will be Reish Chodesh Elul. And the third 40-day period would last from then till Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, the 10th of Tishrei, is when Hashem will finally give him the second tablets. Now, as an incidental observation, we find that on the first tablets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Moshe to make them. The fact is, it states what we read, that both the tablets and the writing were by Hashem. What we read, the last portion, the last few psukim that we read, stated, the tablets and the writing was from Hashem. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, you make the tablets and bring them up, and I will write again the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments. Why was this different? So Rashi brings a medrash. He says, Atoshi Bato Rishenes, Ato Posa Lecho Acheres. You broke the first one, so you make them again. You broke them, you have to make them. Moshe Lamelech Shohalach LeMedina Sayom, a parable that the king went away, a long distance, Ve'iniach Harusose, Ima Shvachais, and he had a betrothed wife. Wasn't married yet, but betrothed. And he left her together with the maidservants. The maidservants went and excuse me, and they committed acts of promiscuity. Yotza la shemra, and because of that was rumored that his betrothed also was involved in that. Omar shushvina, bikorak subosa. So the shushvina, that was the one in charge of the betrothed, to bring her to the chuppah with the king. He was very, very angry when he heard this rumor, and he tore up the ksuba, the marriage settlement. Omar, so then they made an investigation, and they found out that she was innocent. So the king said, I will marry her. And then he told the shushvina. The shushvina is the one that was in charge. You write a nuksuba. You make a nuksuba. Now, first he said to the king, well, write her. You have to write her a new marriage contract, now a new marriage settlement, because it was torn up. So he says, no. He says, you go buy the parchment. You go get the ink, because you're the one that tore it up. Maniachtav lebiksav yad yodai, and I will write it. You tore it up, so you fix it. Kach hamelech zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hashvach zeh lo erev ra, v'ashushvinon zeh meisha, arusase shel, and arusase shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, elu Yisrael. The same thing here, that Yisrael was the betrothed one to the king. That's Hashem. Moshe was the one to see that the marriage, he was the shushvin, he was the one to see that the marriage goes through. And the maidservants were the Erev Rav, the great mixture of people that came with them out of Mitzrayim. A shemra, a rumor went out that his betrothed went and was unfaithful to him. She went and served other gods. And therefore, Moshe tore up the ksuba. He broke the tablets. And that, later on they found out that it wasn't really the fault of Yisrael. They were innocent. It was the Erev Rav, it was the mixture of people. So Moshe said, now you have to write another marriage contract. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, P'sol lecha, you make the luchais, you hew them out, bring them to me, and I will write it. A second distinction we find is that in the following Pasuk Beis, states, Vehei Noach en Laboker, Valisa Vaboker, Alahar Sinai, when it's after Lishom al Risha Ahor, the next morning, which was Rish Kedish Elo, you go up, wait for me on the mountain, Veish lo yale imach, Vegam ish al Yero, Bechol Ahor Azer. No man shall go up with you. No man should be seen on the entire mountain. And no animal should be around. Now, this was not the case by the first commandments. by the first time of giving of the Torah, there everybody came to the mountain. They couldn't go up, but everybody came to the mountain. In fact, those days are called the Yemei Hakbolo, because Hashem drew a boundary around the mountain as far as they could go, but everybody came, and everybody heard. They heard from Hashem the first two commandments, and Hashem wanted to tell them all of the commandments, but they were afraid. And there was great thunder and great sounds of the shofar and great lightning. Well, here was a very, very quiet affair. So again, Rashi tells us, Harishenes Aideshoya Bishues Vikeles Vikihilais Shalta by Ein Ro. Einloch Yofeminat Snios. Even when it comes to the greatest mitzvah, we have to be careful, very, very careful, when we make a big public function out of it. First ones, what could there be anything greater than the giving of the Torah and the giving of the Ten Commandments and hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But since the first one was done with such great pirsum, such great publicity, and such great noise, the Ein Hora got in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this time we're not taking any chances. Ein lecho yofe min atznius. The best all the time is snios. You want to do something, if it's little or great, do it quietly. You don't need the high profile. Sometimes it's necessary, the Gemara says, if it'll influence others. For example, to give tzedakah, the Gemara says, if you give publicly, others will follow. Well, that's a great mitzvah. But otherwise, now, ein lecho yofe min atznius. Tznius, something low profile, is the best thing. And that's what Rashi tells us. This is from the sages. Then, if we follow, in Pasuk Dalet, it states, Vayivshel shnei luchos avonim korishenim. So Moshe did that. He hewed out the second tablets. Vayashke Moshe baboker. He got up that morning early. Vayaler har Sinai kasher tziva Hashem Yisrael. He went up to har Sinai alone, like Hashem told him. Nobody was near the mountain. Vayikach b'yodei shnei luchos avonim. And he brought up the two tablets of stone. Incidentally, these tablets were very, very heavy. Gemara brings a proof from here that Moshe was a great gibor. He was very, very strong. We see that he took on giants during the wars. And also they were very precious. They were made out of sapphire. Gemara brings that he was allowed to keep the chips that came off after hewing it out, and from there he became wealthy. Then it speaks that Hashem came to him and subsequently would give him the second tablets. So this is the story now of the breaking. The Sfiras Halucha is the breaking of the first tablets and the giving of the second tablets. But Torah doesn't write explicitly the Ten Commandments again here. It just says that Hashem, he came up with the tablets, and Hashem would give it to him. But doesn't write it explicitly like it wrote explicitly the Ten Commandments the first time in Parshas Yisro. Now, if we go to Parshas Be'eschanan, that was last week's Parsha. Perkei Posuk Vov. That's in Dvorim. Perkei Posuk Vov. If we just go back a few psukim, Moshe starts to tell the people that Hashem gave him the Torah to give to the people and to teach the people. And he made the covenant with the people. And ponim beponim diber Hashem imochem, bohor mitecha eshen, he spoke explicitly to them from the mountain. And I stood between Hashem and between you to tell you everything that Hashem was saying. And then in Pasuk Vav, we have again, the second time, the explicit writing of the Ten Commandments. Nechi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God that has taken you out of Egypt, and so on. Now, at first glance, we would say, this is the second. These are the second tablets. Because the first tablets we already had, which was written on the first tablet. So these, we would say, would be the second tablets. All right, we'll come back to this. Now let's go to our Parsha, in Parsha's Akev. In Parsha's Akev, Moshe speaks about this at length. In Perek Tes. Perek Tes, chapter 9. Perek Tes, Posuk Tes. Here Moshe starts to go over the whole story. He says, Ba'aleisi Ohara, when I went up to the mountain, Lokachas Luchas Avonim, Luchas Abris, to take, accept the stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant, which Hashem has given to us, and I was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and I did not eat any bread, nor did I drink any water. And Hashem gave to me the Luchas Avonim, the tablets, stone tablets, Ksuvim Be'etz Pelekim, which were written by the finger of Hashem, Ma'aleihem, and on them was everything which Hashem told you on that day of that gathering. Then at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, Hashem said to me, Hashem gave me the tablets, and then he said, go down right away, because the nation is destroying themselves. They have made a molten idol. So I went down, and with the two tablets in my hands, and I saw what they did, and I took the two tablets and Posuk Yud Zayin. I grabbed the two tablets and I threw them down, and I broke them in your presence. Okay, so that was the first 40 days. Then, I went up to Hashem and I appealed to him again for the second 40 days. Again, I didn't eat any bread or drink any water. And then Moshe goes through all of the appeal that he had, and all the conversation that he had with Hashem. And then if we go down to Perek Yud, that's Revi, chapter 10, Ba'esehi Omar Hashem Elai, at that time Hashem said to me, now this is at the end of the second 40 days, Psolachoshne Luchis Avarim Kerishainim, hew out two tablets out of stone like the first ones, Ba'le Elai Hohora, and come up to the mountain, and make an oren for them. Rashi explains this was not the oren of the Mishkan, because the sanctuary was only built after Yom Kippur. And this is before Yom Kippur, after he came down with the second tablets. But this was just a small oren to keep the tablets in. And Hashem said, I will write on the tablets, which were on the first ones which you broke, and put them, you shall put them in the oren. So Moshe says, this is what I did. And Hashem wrote on the tablets like he did the first time, the Ten Commandments. Yeah. So here, Moshe reviews all of that. Okay. So what do we have? We have that in Parshas Yisro, shortly after going out of Mitzrayim, they came to the mountain, and Hashem told Moshe, come up to the mountain, and I will give you the Torah and the Shnei Luchei Sabris, the two tablets with the Ten Commandments, and then we have the Ten Commandments written out for us in that Parsha. And it's continued in Mishpatim. Then in Parshas Kisiso we have, where at the end of the 40 days that Moshe was remaining with Hashem, and he was going to bring this down to Yisrael, Yisrael went and they made the golden calf. They were worried about him, that he wasn't returning. Hashem said, go down immediately, see what they're doing. He went down, he became angry, and he broke the tablets. Then it continues that Moshe went back up to the mountain to appeal to Hashem to give over a second set of tablets with another Ten Commandments for a second 40 days. And finally, at the end of that period, Hashem said, all right, go down. So lecho, you make the tablets now, you broke them. Bring them up to me tomorrow, which was Resh Chedesh Elul. Stay with me another 40 days, and I will write again on them what I wrote on the first tablets. And that culminated on Yom Kippur. That's why Mora says Yom Kippur was such a great day, because that was the sign that Hashem had forgiven the nation entirely. That became a day of Slicha V'Kapora for generations. And we received the Torah again. We received the tablets. But the Ten Commandments are not written out there. Then in last week's Parsha, we have the Ten Commandments again written out, which seemingly would be what was written on the second tablets. And then in this week's Parsha, Moshe reviews what took place. He reviews the whole story. Okay. One question, though. This is a question, very, very difficult question. And that is, if we go back to Eschanan, that's last week's Parsha. Where the Ten Commandments are written. This would be Posik Vov. If we look at this, we'll find that Moshe is not referring to what was written on the second tablets. He's referring very explicitly to what was written on the first tablets. For example, in Posik Beis, he says, Hashem Elokeinu Koras Imono Bris Bechorev. Hashem made a covenant with us in Chorev. All right, that was at Har Sinai. Ponim b'ponim dibar Hashem imochem bor mitecha esh. Hashem spoke to you face to face from the fire on the mountain. That wasn't at the second tablets. The second tablets Hashem didn't speak to the people. It was the first tablets that he spoke to the people. He told all the people to come to the mountain and they would hear him. Anechi I made bein Hashem uveinechem. I stood between you and Hashem ba'isahi, because you were afraid to approach the fire, and you were afraid to come up to the mountain. This is all of the first tablets. And then, Moshe tells us, Lemor, and then Moshe tells us what was said. So these Ten Commandments are seemingly the same Ten Commandments that were on the first tablets. Now if we go further, we'll see even more explicit. At the end of the Ten Commandments, this is in Posuk Yutes, Es advorim ha'ele diber Hashem el kol kehalchem bohor mitecha esh ha'enon. This is what Hashem spoke to the entire nation, from the mountain, from the fire, from the clouds, from the great smoke and darkness, kol gadol, a great sound v'le yosof. And v'yichte v'mashne luchay sabonim v'yitnu me'lai. And he wrote it down on the two tablets and gave it to me. And then Meshach says that when they started to hear his voice, the people, the heads of the people came to him and said, we're afraid we'll be consumed in the fire. You listen and teach us. And then, in Chof Zayin, so Hashem said, all right, lech emolehem, shuv lechem lo lechem. This was for the first 40 days. Tell them they can go back to their tents. Atope Amayri Modi, you stay alone with me. And I will tell you all of the mitzvahs in the Chukim and the Mishpatim that you should teach them. So here it's speaking about the about the first, what was written, about the first tablets, not the second tablet. So we, what we must say then, must come to the conclusion that what was written on the second tablets is not written in the Torah. What was written in the first tablets is written twice in the Torah, both in Parshas Yisro and in Parshas Vayeshanan. But that's not a contradiction. That's not such a difficulty. I mean, we could wonder why here it's written twice and there, well, in the second tablets wasn't written at all. But that's not too difficult, because Sefer Dvorim is known as Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah means the review of the Torah, the second time. Sefer Dvorim is known where Moshe reviewed great parts of the Torah. So from the fact that this is repeated is not a question in its own right. It just was somewhat of a wonder, why did he repeat this and not tell us about the second tablets, but that's not so difficult. But what makes it difficult is if we study these Ten Commandments in Vayeshanan, you will see that there are many differences from the way the Ten Commandments were written in Parshas Yisro. Many differences. And if this is supposed to be a repetition, if this is supposed to be the what appeared on the second tablets, so then we could say what appeared on the second tablets was not what was on the first tablets. But if we say this is a repetition of the first tablets, well, there it's written one way, and here it's written another way. For example, if we look at these Ten Commandments, and also in your Chumash, it would be good to have the first at hand, the first Ten Commandments in Parshas Yisro. Now, there are two differences, but on that the Gemara speaks about. In Parshas Yisro, that's again in Shmeis Chof. In Pasuk He, excuse me, Pasuk Ches, states, Zochar Eshem HaShabbos L'Katshoy, you shall remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. While in Parshas Vayeshanan, and that commandment of Shabbos, Pasuk Yud Beis, it states, Shomar Eshem HaShabbos L'Katshoy. You shall guard Shabbos. So there, in the first set, it states, you shall remember Shabbos. The second set, it states, you shall guard Shabbos. The Gemara deals with that. Although, we will still have a question. The second place where the Gemara deals is that in Parshas Yisro, in the first set, it states in the ninth commandment, which is in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lo sane bereyacha et shoker. You shall not testify against your friend a testimony of sheker. Sheker means lie. While in Parshas Vayeshanan, in that dibor, in that commandment, that's in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it states, Lo sane v'reyacha eit shov. Doesn't say eit sheker. It says eit shov. Sheker means a lie, shov means in vain. So again, we see differences there. The Gemara in Masechta Shavuos, Dav Chof Amad Beis, deals with these two. And it states, says that Zohar v'shomar b'dibur echad. Nemru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said both. He said Zohar and Shomar. He said both in the same instant. Masha hapeh ein yochel va'ezen ein yochel lishmaya. The human mouth cannot say that together, and the human ear cannot hear that together. But Hashem said it together, and the people heard it one after the other. This was both on Shomar v'Zohar, and on Eid Shoker and Eid Shov, a testimony of falsehood, a testimony which was in vain. Why he did that. The Gemara says, Hukash Ladodi, to teach us halochas, which the Gemara explains. Now, if we would say, though, that that the in Yisro we're speaking about one set of tablets, and in Vayeshanan we're speaking about a second set of tablets, so we can say that it couldn't be written both together. Hashem said it both together. Can't be written both together. So in one set of tablets it was written one way, and the second set of tablets was written another way. But if we say that these are the same set of tablets, so how can we change the writing from one to the other in the same set of tablets? So there we'll have a question even in accordance to the Gemara. But there are many other changes which the Gemara doesn't refer to. For example, again, if we go back to Yisro, again, in the Dibur, in the commandment of Shabbos, in Pasuk Yud, it states, V'yom HaShvi'i Shabbos LaHashem Elokecha. The seventh day is Shabbos to Hashem. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your servant, or your maidservant, your animal, in regards to animal, it just puts all of the animals together and says your animal. If we go to Parshas Vayeshanan, by the command of Shabbos, in Pasuk Yudalid, it states, V'yom HaShvi Shabbos al Hashem Elokecha, Leisacha Kol Malocha, Ato Ivincha V'Techa V'Avdecha V'Mamosecha, V'Shorcha V'Chamorcha V'Chol Bemtecha. It says, your ox, your donkey, and all of your animals. So there it adds your ox and your donkeys. And we know every word is very, very important when it comes to the Sefer Torah. Further, in Yisro, it just ends that statement there. There and the stranger in your gates, well, in Vayeshanan, it adds, L'man yonuach abducha v'amoscha kameicha, in order that your servant and your maidservant shall rest like you. So here's an addition that we find in Vayeshanan, it's not in Yisro. Then even a greater difference is because the reasons for resting on Shabbos are different. In Yisro, the reason given for resting on Shabbos is because Kishesh Shomi Mosa Hashem as Hashemayim Vesoretz as the Yom Vescol Hashabom Bayonach Beim Hashvi. For 6 days, Hashem created the world, and on the seventh day, He rested. While the reason given for resting on Shabbos in Vayeshanan is totally different. You should remember that you were a slave in Egypt. Hashem took you out with a strong hand, an outstretched arm. And then it states in Yisro, it states, Hakein Beirach Hashem Hashem Hashabbos Vekatshoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed and sanctified the seventh day. Doesn't say that in Yisro. It says, Alkein Sibcha Hashem Elokecha Lasis Hashem HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch commanded you to make the seventh day of Shabbos. So these are very blatant differences. We have another difference, for example, in the fifth commandment of honoring your father and mother. In the fifth commandment, which is found in Posuches in Yisro. Excuse me, no. where is that? In Posuk Yud Beis. Kabeir es avicha v'esimecha, you shall honor your father and mother. Leman yarichon yomecha la'adoma, in order that your day shall be made long on the earth. Asher Hashem Elokecha Nation Lokot, Hashem gives to you. Now notice the word Tov is not written there. Now if we go to Parshas Vayeschanan, in Vayeschanan, by the that mitzvah which is on Posuk Tes Zayin, it states Kabeir Esavicha Vesimecha. Now it says Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, like Hashem has commanded you. Didn't say that in Yisro. It says in order to make your days long. And then further it says, here it says Leman Yarichun Yomecha, but it adds Leman Yitavloch Al Adoma, in order that Yitavloch Al Adoma, in order that your day shall be good. The Gemara goes into that word good, that here it's written in the second commandments, and it's not written in the first commandments. But we see this is a blatant difference. Another example, in the tenth command. The tenth command in Parshas Yisro, it states, Leisachmeid Beisre Echo. You shall not covet the house of your fellow man. In Parshas Vayeschanan, it states, that's in Yud Ches, Leisisaver Beisre Echo. There it says Sachmod, which means envy or covet. Here it says Leisisaver, which means desire. You shall not desire the house of your fellow man. Plus it adds, Sodeu ve'abdei, it adds there. So we see, and then there are major differences and a lot of very subtle differences, where in some places one letter is added, like a vav. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that in the actual writing, it would seem, the actual writing of the Ten Commandments, which are written twice in the Torah, and it would seem that we are, Moshe, this would be the writing on the tablets. If the first time it's speaking about the first tablets, and the second time it's speaking about the second tablets, no kashas, no question. First tablets were written one way, and the second tablets were written another way. Except we'd have to understand why they were changed, but it's not a contradiction. But we brought explicit proofs that both in Yisro and in Vayeschanan, it's the same what happened. It's called Biyim Hakol, at the day of the great gathering at Har Sinai, and that was referring to the first tablets. So how can we have the first tablets written one way and the first tablets written a totally different way? Now the first tablets. Now both are speaking of the first tablets. So how is it possible that the first tablets can be written one way and the same tablets be written a different way? This can't be. Now this is a question which is a very difficult question. Generally, everyone knows that learns Chumash, and especially a Baal Keri, everyone knows that there are differences in the writing of the first tablets and the second tablets. That's explicit. And therefore, it leads to the common assumption that in Parshas Yisro are speaking the way the first tablets were written, and Vayeschanan are speaking the way the second tablets are written. But again, if you will look at the context of the way Moshe is speaking there, in both places he is referring to the first tablets. And then we have a question. This is a question I've asked for years to many, many Rabbonim. I couldn't answer it. So it's a very difficult question. The Maral goes into this, which I found not too long ago. Well, and actually I knew for a long time he went in, but I didn't quite understand what he was saying. But he goes into this at great length. And he says, like we're saying, that both parshas are referring to the first tablets, like the context of the Chumash. So how can it be that the first tablets are written in two different ways? And he says something which is very deep, which we will try to understand this evening. First starts with a principle that the Gemara in Megillah brings on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara is speaking, what the Gemara is speaking about is not relevant to us. It's just a principle extracted. The Gemara is speaking about when they read the Sefer Torah in Shul, and you read the rebukes. So there's a different hanoga, a different way you can conduct yourself if you're referring to the rebukes of the first, which are written in the first four books, or the last one. The Gemara says, why should there be a difference? So the principle extracted here is that there's a major difference between the first four books, the first four chumashim of the Chamishi Torah, in other words, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and the last one, Devarim. And as mentioned before, Devarim was called Mishnei Torah. There the Torah was reviewed. The fact is, if you look at the beginning of the Devarim, it states, Eila hadvarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael be'ever hayadin. These are the words which Hashem, which Moshe spoke to Yisrael be'ever hayadin when they had come to the Jordan. And this was a little over a month before the death of Moshe. The first four books, most of them, almost all of them, take place they either take place from the creation, or from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, or from Mitzrayim in Egypt, giving of the Torah, till through the first year in the desert. After there was the decree that the people should die in the desert, those that didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, then after the 40 years, the most of the Sefer Torah, of the first four books, does not deal with that. A little does, but not most. So here now is after the 40 years, and Klal Yisrael has come to the Jordan River, and they're ready to cross, and they had conquered the lands along the Jordan River. It's not the west bank of the Jordan River, it's the east bank of the Jordan River, the other side. They conquered those lands because those nations came out to fight against them, and those lands HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to them, and these were the lands which were going to be given to the two and a half tribes that wanted them because they were such good grazing lands, and they would become part of Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe was decreed that he couldn't go across the Jordan, couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael proper. And here, on those banks, he started to tell over the Torah. The fact is, it states in the in Pasuk Hey, Be'ever Hayarden Be'eretz Moab, on that side of the Jordan, there was a land of Moab, Ho'il Moshe Be'eretz HaTorah Azos Lemor. Moshe started to explain the Torah. The fact is, he explained the Torah so well that Rashi tells us, what does it mean? He brings from the sages, what does it mean, Be'eres HaTorah? He explained the Torah, B'shivim Loshon Pirush Lahem. He taught the Torah to them in 70 languages. I tell over the story once, that not long ago, there was a Rav Eretz Yisrael, he came here, and I was still saying my shir, so he sat down to listen. It's a little before Mincha, and I see smiling. Afterwards, he comes up to me. He says, "This is the Eshtemolik, you had a shir in English. This is the first time I ever heard a shir given in English." So he says, "Evasis, Moshe Rabbeinu can get a good English. Moshe Rabbeinu knew a good English." He says, "Well, how do we know?" It states that he explained the whole Torah over in 70 languages. The whole Torah, to get, so he gave Shurim in English. So here, this Sefer deals with not Hashem speaking to Moshe. Like in the whole Torah it states, Vayedaber Hashem la Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe that he should say to the people. Here it states, Ela advorim asher diber Moshe al kol Yisrael. This is what Moshe spoke to the children of Israel. Be'er hayadein. Be'er, ho'il Moshe, be'er es ha-Torah zot. He started to re-explain the entire Torah. And this is why it's called Mishneh Torah. But the Gemara says there's something else. It says, kol ha-Tera kula mipi ha-Gvura nemra. The whole Torah, Moshe said, from Hashem, Sefer Dvorim, this Sefer, Mipi Atzmo, Moshe said from himself. Now, Tosfos right away asks, it doesn't mean that he said it from himself, because if he said it on his own, then it's not Torah. Because Torah is Nebuas Moshe. Torah is the prophecy which Moshe had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's not the prophecy that he had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we must separate Sefer Dvorim and make it into a different Sefer. It's not Chumash, it's not the Torah. Now, he says it was also Beruach HaKadosh, it was also a prophecy. But Tosfos doesn't explain what that means. So the Maral explains as follows. There were two sides to this prophecy. Everything that Moshe wrote in the Torah is only what he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything that he didn't hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't write in the Sefer Torah. That's why we're not allowed to change one word in the Sefer Torah, because it says, Lokom Kemesha, there'll never be a prophet as great as Moshe, and therefore no prophet can come to change any word, because it's all the prophecy of Moshe. But there was two sides to that prophecy. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the prophecy of the Torah to Moshe, it was coming from Hashem. So it was at the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, he said, Lemor, whatever I tell you, tell the people. So it was said at that level. That was at a very, very high level. And that was the level of the Nosein, of the one giving it. By the giving of the Torah, there it states that Meshi Yedaber Ba'ashem Yane Bekol. Moshe was speaking, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened his voice that it should be heard. So what does that mean? Moshe said over exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. No more than, no less. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was received by Moshe, Hashem Yanen Bakol, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened that voice, not only in volume, but in quality of what he was saying, so he should be able to give it over. But the Maral says, when you give something to someone else, if they're both at the same level, then the giving and the recipient is the same. But if one is a level of a mountain, and the other is the level of a valley, so the giving comes from on top, and the recipient is far down. And that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yisrael. What Moshe did in Sefer Devarim, is there he explained over the Torah at the level of the people. It was the same prophecy, but there were two phases to the prophecy. There was a phase which was at the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, and a second phase which was at the level of Moshe to the people. And that's why it states, Ela Dvorim Asher Diber Moshe Al Kol Yisrael. Here we're dealing not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe to tell him repeat it to the people. But this is what Moshe said over to the people from the prophecy that was given to him. This was from, so it was in relation to the people, that they could relate to it. And that's why it states, Ho il Meshe be'eres ha-Torah zos. He even went, that he didn't write, but he even went further to explain it in all of the languages. Now, that's what the Gemara means, the Gemara in Megillah, that he quotes in Laman Aleph Amud Beis, that Bechol ha-Torah, is Mipi HaGevura Nemar. The whole Torah was said from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, through Moshe. But Mishnah Torah, this last Sefer, that was Mipi Atzmai. That Moshe said on his own. It was the prophecy, but this was the way he understood the prophecy to give over to the level to the people. Through this, the Maral explains the differences, the discrepancies between what was written on the first, what was written on the tablets, the first tablets in Parshas Yisro, and what was written, and what was said on the what Moshe said over on the tablets. In the last, in Parshas Vayeshanan, which is in Mishnah Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said over the Ten Commandments, and Moshe wrote it in the Torah, in Parshas Yisro, that's how it was written on the tablets. But in Parshas Vayeshanan, there he is reviewing and reteaching the people what was written on the first tablets. So he said it over with additional explanation in order that it should be at a level that he would relate to the people, not at the level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu related to him. So therefore, both are referring to the first tablets. But Parshas Yisro is referring to the way it was written on the tablets. And Parshas Vayeshanan and Sefer Dvorim is referring to the way Moshe explained it to the people. Because there he's being Be'er as HaTorah, he's explaining the Torah to the people. These are the Dvorim that Moshe said to the people. That's why we find additions or slight changes from the second time it's written in the Torah to the first time it's written in the Torah, even though it's the same tablets. This would be the same with those two cases where Hashem himself said two words at one time. Shomer v'zocha v'shomer and sheke v'shov. There, it could only be written one way. So it was written in the first tablet, zocher. But Moshe explained it with the word shomer, because that was closer to the people. Or it was written sheker on the first tablets, but Moshe explained it shov, because that was closer to the people. Both were correct, because Hashem used both words. Why the distinctions on the which are written in Vayeshanan were closer to the people than the way it was written the first time, that the Maral explains each one. We won't be able to go into that this evening, but he explains each one. That why the second time, when Moshe explained it the second time, he explained it in an expression and language that would identify more with the people than the way it was written the first time. But the principle was, is that Sefer Dvorim explains many things with greater elaboration than the actual way that Hashem explained it to Moshe, but it was part of the same prophecy. Because this is how Moshe understood that prophecy to be able to give it over to the people. Now, we'll go one step further. The second tablets, does not appear in the Sefer Torah at all how they were written. According to the way we're learning. Because both these parshas all refer just to the first tablets. So how were they written? We could say we could assume, we should assume, they were written the same way as the first tablets. Not in accordance to Moshe's explanation of them. The morale there goes to another very profound thought, where he says that it seems from the Gemaras and from the sages that they were not written the same as they were, as the first tablets were written. Even though we have many psukim that Hashem says that bring me the tablets again, and I will write on the second tablets exactly what I wrote on the first tablets. So it assumes, we should assume they're the same. Now, why? Because the Gemara comes along. This is a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. And the Gemara there discusses, it says, why was the word Tov not found in the first commandments at all? And it's found in the second commandments. The word Tov is not found in the first commandments at all, and it's found in the second commandments. And the Gemara goes through a discussion there. Now, the word Tov, if you look in our first commandments, is not there. Evidently, the sages knew that it was in the second commandments, the second tablets, even though the second tablets are not explicitly written in the Sefer Torah. And so we see that the second tablets were written with the word Tov. And we find that the word Tov was written in Parshas Vaschanan, where it says, Kabed es avicha vesimecha, you should honor your father and mother, l'man yitav lecha, in order that you should have good life. There should be goodness to you. So you see that the sages are learning that the second tablets were not written the way the first tablets were written, but rather the way Moshe explained the first tablets to the people. Now the Gemara answers on that question. Why was the word Tov not written in the first tablets, but they were written in the second? The Gemara says, because if they were written in the first tablets, then when Moshe would have broken the tablets, people might have thought, might have been afraid, that we would have lost goodness forever, because he broke what was in the first tablets. So therefore, Hashem wrote Tov in the second tablets. But the question still remains, that the question in essence still remains, though, that the first tablets didn't have the word Tov, while the second did. So now there are two questions. Why, in essence, didn't the first tablets have this word, while the second one did? And why were the second ones written in accordance to Moshe's explanation rather than the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the first ones? So this he tells us because our sages tell us that the second tablets, from one aspect, were far lesser level than the first tablets, but from another aspect, far better than the first tablets. We have a posuk which we say in the Shir Shel Yom, in the Tehillim, the Shir Shel Yom, for Yom Shlishi, for Tuesday, where it states, Ki ani amarti elokim atem, ubnei elyon kulchem. I said that you were like gods, and you were like angels. But now I see you're like men, and you will die like men. You won't live forever. And you will fall like one of the princes. Sages tell us this refers to the first tablets. Had the people received the Torah the way the first time it was given, and they had not served the golden calf, they would have remained at levels of angels. They would have been free from the Malach HaMovis, free from the angel of death, and they would have lived forever. But because they went and they served the golden calf, they fell. And even though Hashem gave them the tablets again, they were not at that level. Now, that will answer why the second tablets were written not the way Hashem wrote the first tablets, but rather the way Moshe explained the first tablets, which was at a lower level. But still the question, so why was Tov written in the second tablets and not in the first tablets? Here we learn an important principle. The second tablets were better than the first ones. Why? A person needs something that he can live with. If he has something that is he's in control of, that he can live with, then it's he has it totally. Then there's shlemus. Tov is only when everything is totally perfect. If a person tries for something beyond himself, he won't reach perfection. So he'll have it imperfectly. Moshe says, Tavasta maruba leitafasta. It's better that a person should take a lower level, that he can have it in totality, than a level beyond himself that he will not have. In other words, if you're jumping the high jump, jump over something that you can manage to jump over, and don't keep jumping over something that you always fall. The same thing when it comes to seeking perfection in the world. Don't seek perfection at something that is beyond you. When a person grows, he can keep growing. But don't, at any one time, don't seek perfection that's beyond you. Because then you'll only have it at your fingertips. Better go down a rung where you have it totally in your hands. The first luchais were too high for man. We see that because they served the golden calf once, and he broke it. You know, the chief rabbi, Harris, he should be well, he should have a refuah shlema. He once spoke here, it was Parshas Ekev, this Parsha, on the Shabbos. So he says, what's this, that Moshe takes the tablets and throws them down and breaks it because he gets angry at the people? He says, what would happen if a Rav gets angry at his congregation and he goes to the Oran HaKodesh and he takes the Sefer Torah and he throws it? He says, would you hear of such a thing? Now, the first tablets, we see that the people went and served idolatry. Moshe broke them. And the Gemara says, Asher Shibalto. It doesn't say Sheshobalto. Asher Shibalto. Yasher Keichacho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm happy you broke them. But then on the second tablets, Klal Yisrael has done plenty against the will of Hashem. But the tablets are still there. Nobody takes the Sefer Torah and, heaven forbid, throws it out. Why? Because the first tablets demanded total perfection. There was no room for error. And that was B'nai Elokim Atem. But that was too high for the people. And since it was too high, the word Tov couldn't be written there, because it was impossible for them to have a total grasp on it. The second tablets were given on Yom Kippur, together with tshuva and kapora. That means that there was room for error. A person could make an error, and then he could do tshuva for it, and he would be reinstated. That's what it states, that Sheva Tzadik, what's it, the pasuk? What is the pasuk? Sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. Tzadik falls seven times and he stands up. It should say better. Tzadik doesn't fall. What do you mean he falls seven times and stands up? It should say a rosha falls. Tzadik doesn't fall. The answer is there's no such thing. That's a b'nei elyon. That's someone not from this world. In this world, everyone falls. In fact, it says Sheva, the Maral says Sheva always represents Ribui, many times. The Rosha falls many times and the Tzaddik falls many times. The difference is the Tzaddik gets up, the Rosha doesn't. The tzaddik makes mistakes, but he corrects them. The rosha makes mistakes, and he doesn't correct them. That's the difference. So we need something that we can live with. We need something that we can make mistakes with. We need something that we can fall with and get up. That were the second tablets, not the first tablets. Therefore, in the second tablets were written Tov, the Man Yitav, because they could be good. They could be in totality, not the first tablets. So therefore, that's why these sages, well, they must have had a Masoris, a tradition in this, but that would explain why the first tablets, well, this we see from the Sefer Torah, the first tablets were written in one language, and that was from Hashem, the way he spoke to Moshe, and Moshe gave it over, and Moshe gave it over accordingly to Klal Yisrael. And that's how it was written on the tablets. The second time the Ten Commandments are reviewed in Mishneh Torah, where Moshe explains the Torah with more elaboration, there he's giving his side of the prophecy. It wasn't written like that, but he's giving his side of the prophecy as to what was written, which was also from the prophecy of Hashem, to relate to the people. And therefore, it's written with more elaboration, which can relate more to the people. The second tablets were written that way, because they were not at the level of the first tablets, but they were at the level of people, and therefore is written Tov in them, good in them. Let me conclude with one other short principle that we can learn from these parshas, similar to what we're saying. Whenever Moshe speaks of this story, how he went up to the mountain, he keeps emphasizing that Aboim Yom, 40 days, Lechem Le'achalti, Umayim Le'shasisi. I didn't eat bread and I didn't drink water. And when he was up on the mountain, three sets of 40 days, this means for three sets of 40 days, he didn't eat or drink. And Moshe was trying to show, it must have been very, very difficult for Moshe. I mean, we could say it was Derech Nes, it was a miracle. It had to be a miracle because a person can't live for 40 days, but we could say it was easy. But then why is Moshe priding himself so much on it? What's he telling the people? He's trying to show the people to what great extent he went for them on their behalf in order to bring them the Torah. So in other words, Moshe must have suffered very, very much. Except HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through a miracle, gave him strength where he could endure. But he must have suffered very, very much. Otherwise, why is he telling the people this? Well, a big deal. It was he weren't hungry and you weren't thirsty for 40 days. Now the question is, why did he do it, though? For so much suffering, why did he do it? So the Gemara brings the reason why he did it. It's the Gemara in Perek HaSeich HaSapolim. He didn't want to be Meshaneh Minig HaMokom. Didn't want to change the custom of the place. When he came up to the heavens, he saw that all of the angels, nobody ate or drank. And he didn't want to change the ways of the place. The Gemara says, from here we learn that in Rome you do like the Romans. When you come into a place, and actually the Medrash uses such a lotion, you come into a certain city, names a city, you do like there. You keep the etiquette of the place. You come into a certain place. Here it's not speaking as far as halachas, not to change halachas and not to change minhagim that are built on halachas. It's speaking as protocol and etiquette. You come into a place and people conduct themselves in one manner in this place, and it's different than where you come from. You have to conduct yourself the way the people in that locale do. And that, the Gemara calls, is derech eretz. It's not Torah, that's derech eretz. Torah is the wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us from the heavens. Derech Eretz is the wisdom which he built innately into all people, which they can come to through their own intelligence. And that's why Derech Eretz he commanded all people in. Well, Torah, that's a higher level that Israel wanted. Now there's another question. And this Rabban Kotler Zichron Yevroch asks. Look, there's a limit though. Don't have to kill yourself. Come into a place, all right, you do like other people. But it means for 40 days and 40 nights you starve yourself. He said, why do you go to such extremes? You see, I mean, the way he's talking. 40 days and 40 nights of suffering. Why such extremes? He says why. Because the Gemara says that their heritage was given Kodim Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu taught the world their heritage from Adam Arishon, the first man. There he taught him how a civil human being must conduct himself. Only 26 generations later did he teach Torah to the people. That was in Har Sinai, 26 generations later. Why so long? Because just like a child, what do you teach a child first? A child has to learn to walk, to talk, to stand, to eat, to be polite, to say hello, to say thank you. That's all their heritage. Later, he can come to Torah. So it states their heritage kodma la Torah, and therefore, if a person doesn't have their heritage, he cannot come to Torah. The Maral explains it because he says their heritage is the Sechel HaTachta, and that's the intelligence, that's human intelligence. While Torah is a godly intelligence. Now, how can you come to a godly intelligence if you don't even have human intelligence? Moshe was afraid, this is what Aaron Kotler says, Moshe was afraid that at this time that he is accepting the Torah, he has to receive the entire Torah to give over to the world. If there's any part of the Torah that he misses, then the world will miss it. Because where will the world get it from? The whole Torah that we have is built on Torah's Moshe. So it was a big task for Moshe. The world was waiting for the Torah. And Moshe was this conduit, that this vessel that would receive the entire Torah, every possible hairbreadth of the Torah, to give over. So Moshe had to put himself, make himself into a situation of total perfection to receive this Torah. He was afraid that if he would lack in their heretz at this time, even a hairbreadth, there would be a part of the Torah he wouldn't be able to understand and therefore give over to the world. Therefore he went to the greatest extents of almost killing himself to be shema, to guard their heretz, so he would have the foundation to be makabel to receive the entire Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give over to the world. He says, from there you see, and that's why he told the people, he says, you know what I did for you? 3 times, 40 days and 40 nights, I suffered and almost killed myself. If it wouldn't have been for Hashem, lechem le'achalti umayim lo shosisi. I didn't taste bread and I didn't drink water. So Rabban says, from here you see the importance of their heretz if one wants to come to Torah. These are some important principles that we learn from the Aseres Adibros, which are mentioned in Parshas Ekev and in last week's Parshas Voschanan.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.